Hello, TD Fantasy listeners. Jamie Eisner here, telling you about the ultimate fantasy football draft experience. You've heard us talk about it on the show before. Fantasy football at sea. Think about what you were doing this past draft night. Were you just sitting on your couch? Were you stuck at the office, hoping your boss didn't see you? That's no fun at all. Isn't fantasy football supposed to be fun? Why not upgrade and do your 2019 draft on a cruise to the Bahamas where you can get the best advice and party with the top fantasy analysts and former NFL players? Beach, sun, fantasy football, TD Fantasy will be there. That is a tough combo to beat. Go to fantasyfootballatsea.com for more information and learn how you can book today.
Welcome into the TD Fantasy Podcast. Paige DeMacos, Jake Arians, Jamie Eisner, and we are previewing all the games for this weekend. And if you didn't listen to Thursday's pod, you should, because we're all very excited about this weekend of football. There are so many games that actually matter. None of the playoffs is set already. That means December is going to be an awesome month of football for all of us. And obviously we're all passionate about football, but we're going to start with a game that doesn't really matter all that much because neither of these teams is going to end up anywhere near the playoffs. And that is the Atlanta Falcons and the Green Bay Packers. Two teams that you probably thought at points during the season, especially Atlanta, who got hot at the beginning of the season, kind of thought that team would turn it around and become a playoff team, just really has fallen off. And Green Bay fired Mike McCarthy. That team's not going to be in the postseason as well. Green Bay is a 5-point favorite at home. Guys, at this point in the season, I don't think Green Bay deserves to be a favorite against anybody, but they are at home and they did just fire their coach, so they might be revitalized in this game, I guess. Jake, I'll let you start.
I picked a better quarterback at home, and normally I throw that with a head coach. I also, which normally I would do, I'm still taking Aaron Rodgers at home. I don't think they cover. I think this is pretty close. I got the Packers 28-24. I think the line is 5. You always get a boost when you fire that coach. The next week, that team always plays good, even when it's bad teams. There's no way Aaron Rodgers losing back-to-back home games, in my opinion. Falcons just have too many injuries to overcome. And Matt Ryan on the road in the cold is not the same guy. That offense got completely shut down by Baltimore at home last week. I just don't think they have enough. But I think it's a fairly good game because we already talked about the Packers roster sucks. But they still got Aaron Rodgers home. I don't think they lose back-to-back home games.
Agreed.
I think they cover, but I don't feel great about it just because both of these teams have been just unbelievably massive disappointments this year.
Yep.
I think the Falcons a little bit more so than the Packers just because that – I mean, I know the Falcons are doing a lot of injuries, but that was a team that a lot of people were high on, thought they were going to be in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I think the Packers can do enough to win this game by a touchdown. But, again, I wouldn't be shocked by the result. This is a stay-away game for me.
Like, yeah.
Just –
Stay away week. It's a tough week when you start getting these.
I don't trust Matt Ryan on the road. I don't trust the Packers to do anything. I don't trust the Falcons to do anything. This is just a disaster written all over it. But gun to my head, I'm going to take the Packers to cover at home, thinking they're not going to lay an egg back-to-back weeks at home.
All right, next game we're going to talk about, divisional game, but always an interesting one because New England tends to lay a stinker on the road in Miami. And it doesn't matter when the game is because we saw them last year go into Miami later on in the season and play a bad football game, and that team obviously went on to the Super Bowl. So New England is a 8-point favorite on the road in Miami. Miami's defense has been okay, or better than okay in some weeks when we've seen them. So what do you guys see happening in this one?
Well, I look at this and I say I'm not going to let history repeat itself. I've always thought, oh, well, it doesn't matter that they're going to Miami. It's the Patriots. I think this is a really close game. I think the Patriots still can come out with a victory, but I think this is a Steven Gostkowski late field goal pushes them over the top. Miami's a tough team. They play teams tough. Tannehill has had a lot of success against New England at home. It's the absolute reverse in New England. But this is a tough place for them to play. It's a tough divisional matchup. And to me, if I'm getting the benefit of more than a touchdown at home for a competent Miami team that has played New England well, I'm going to take that.
Yep.
I've got – going back to what we talked about, no playoff seeds set, and New England knowing that if they get the number one seed, that Foxborough is a damn tough place for anybody to come in and get. Every game matters. I think they're more ready to go down there and not lay an egg because of history. I got the Pats covering. I got them winning 30-20. I think they get some turnovers. Miami's played tough, but they haven't played tough enough to win a lot of these games. They're just hanging around for a while. I think Gronk maybe gets going again. He seems to be getting a little bit healthier. I think Tom Brady and that X factor of knowing that they got to get to that number one seed, I think is enough to go down there and put up 30. And I don't think Miami can keep pace.
All right, New York Giants, another divisional matchup here. The New York Giants going on the road to play the Washington Redskins. The Giants are a 4-point favorite on the road. Washington has had some gruesome injuries to deal with. Obviously, we are thinking about Alex Smith because he is in a tough position right now. They're asking for privacy in this time, so that means it's not great. And that's also watch Colt McCoy go down, and I know he's backup quarterback, but man, that was ugly. And when you know his story, I mean, that's it's pretty tough to have those both quarterbacks go down with that injury. So Washington will be starting Mark Sanchez in this game, and they've just had, as far as injury goes, is about as bad as anybody in the NFL. Giants obviously coming off a win. Jake, what do you see happening in this one?
I got the Giants 27-20. They've got it going the last couple weeks. They're playing better. Washington's defense is very, very stingy, so I can see this game not quite getting to that point. I just think Washington's offense, James Betcher's going to load up to stop the run. Adrian Peterson's been great for this team. Chris Thompson's back, catch it out of the backfield. But they don't have anything else. Sanchez has only been there a couple weeks.
I think
eventually they just can't keep pace, and they got to punt too much, and the Giants are they'll get them. But I think that defense for Washington keeps it close for a while.
Yeah, I think they keep it close, but I do think the Giants can bust it open late. I like what they're doing on offense right now. They're finally – it's not necessarily consistent over four quarters, but they're finally starting to get everybody involved. Saquon Barkley looks phenomenal. Odell Beckham is getting his. We're starting to see a little bit of the flashes that we thought this Giants offense could be at the beginning of the year. So I think the Giants do enough here to cover. And you're starting all of your Giants players. I think Shepard's in a flex spot. Odell Beckham's in the top 10 again at wide receivers this week. Saquon Barkley, I think, was like my number two or number three running back in the rankings. I think, again, it's Washington's got a good defense, but I think the Giants are going to be able to do enough.
I just think they're going to be out there too much.
That's true. And again, I think the Giants are starting to kind of feel themselves a little bit. It's too late to do anything with it. They're not going to be a playoff team, even if they went out. But they're starting to feel themselves a little bit, starting to get a little bit of – build some momentum for next year, at least some positivity for the offseason.
All right, another great divisional matchup. I'm very excited to watch Indianapolis Colts at Houston Texans. As far as hot goes, the Houston Texans are about as hot as it gets. They are a 5-point favorite at home. We just saw Indianapolis struggle with a good defense. Houston Texans has a very good defense.
They had a very good front seven and a very weak secondary.
Yeah, they play swaggy at home, though, and they like the. I think this is going to be a very interesting matchup.
What is this line?
5. Houston is a 5-point favorite at home.
I think Texans cover here, but I do think this is a one-score game. We're not going to see the Colts offense get shut down like they did last week. It's just not going to happen. I think even if they play the Jaguars again this week in the same situation, that wouldn't happen. Andrew Luck, they're going to make adjustments. They're going to put up some points. I look at this Texans team, and I don't know what to fully make of them yet. I know they've won 9 games in a row, and I'm going to pick them to win the 10th game in a row here over a really good Indy team that I think could do some damage if they were to get in. But I just don't look at them as one of the AFC elites yet. There's something about that team that when it comes to January, I can't see them going on the road and beating a Steelers, a Patriots, a Chiefs. I don't even maybe if they had to go on the road for some reason if Baltimore were to win the division in the second round to go into Baltimore. I just don't think this team.
Who have they beaten in this 9 game stretch that's good? The schedule's set up good. They're not blowing anybody out. They're not just not like crazy numbers they're putting up. They're doing enough to win. They're playing very complimentary football. That front seven has gotten better. They're stopping the run okay, but they're rushing the passer pretty well. I'm going to take the Texans to not cover and win 27-23, but it would not surprise me at all if Indy goes down there and wins. Okay. Indy, to me, is a hotter, more well-rounded team that I'd be much more scared to face in the playoffs if I'm Pittsburgh or anybody else, if they're coming in the first round, if they get there. I agree with you, man. I like this Texans team, but it hasn't been, maybe because nobody's really talked about it, but there's nothing sexy about this 9 wins. By the way, in the NFL, 7, 8, 9, 10 wins in a row is freaking hard.
Yeah.
It's coming to an end.
Which is why I'm like surprised that I just don't feel anything with them. Like I don't look at them as a Super Bowl contender.
When's the last
team that won 9 or 10 games in a row that we sat down and they're not a Super Bowl contender?
None.
There was a stat that I saw, I think, yesterday. The teams that have won 9 in a row of like the last 8 that have done it, only 2 won the 10th game.
Interesting.
It was a weird stat.
That's a very interesting stat. I could see Indy going up there after laying a stinker last week with Jacksonville and making it – at least making it interesting, let alone –
Oh, I think it's going to be a hell of a game. I think Indy could win it, but I think the Tennessee's proven to me enough that they're winning close games. They're doing enough to win games. And Indy's defense, their front seven has been stingy for 2 years. The defense is still playing pretty solid. I don't think anybody runs away with this one.
The rosters are a lot closer talent-wise than the records indicate
in this game. Yeah, for sure. Houston's just been able to really get it going. They just.
I'm still taking them, by the way. Yeah, I'll take them minus five. Yeah, I think this is a touchdown game. I don't think this is a game where – I don't think they're going
to
blow them out.
All right, Baltimore Ravens going on the road to play the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are a touchdown favorite at home. Jamie, I'll let you go first here. What do you see happening?
I'm going to take the Chiefs here. I like Baltimore. I've been on – Jake and I both talked to them. The first show we did, how much we thought Baltimore was going to be a team to watch this year. I just have concerns about Lamar Jackson going on the road against Kansas City. I know their defense isn't anything spectacular, but they've been a little bit better lately. At some point, you're going to have to be able to throw the ball effectively to beat teams that are better than you. And I think that there's – I just cannot foresee a way where as great as he's been scrambling, that Lamar Jackson can keep up with Patrick Mahomes, that offense.
Yep.
He has been an average at best when throwing the ball this year. I have not been terribly impressed with that. He's young. I like Lamar Jackson. I think he's going to be a good player in this league. But right now, if you have to rely on his arm to win you a football game, I don't think he can right now. And I don't see any way that the Chiefs don't score at least 28 points in this game. I just can't see how Lamar Jackson is going to throw for enough to keep them in this game. I'm going to take the Chiefs minus a touchdown.
So I've got it 27-20. If I got to lean one way, I'm going to take the Chiefs to cover as well. You have the number one offense in the league against the number one defense in the league, statistically. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs are at home. I can't see, as good as this Baltimore defense has been at times, they've got a couple negative fantasy point weeks where they've been lit up. And I just, does Kareem Hunt missing finally your rear its ugly head and they have to throw it so much? I don't know that hurts Kansas City that much. I think Tyreek Hill, they're going to start using in some more unique ways. I just can't see Baltimore putting up. Here's my other question of this. Kansas City defense is not great, but they can rush the passer.
Yeah.
Does that help or hurt playing Lamar Jackson? Do you tell Dee Ford and Justin Houston
just to go?
You're not playing a normal quarterback. So
yeah,
if you get there and you leave an edge, that's 30 yards.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you rush the outside and try to keep him in the pocket? And are they capable of that? I think part of this game is going to be how much Lamar Jackson can run for. Because if he starts seeing Dee Ford and Justin Houston coming off the edge
and
panicking and it goes, he can run for 150.
Yeah.
I still don't think that's enough to keep pace. But it's going to be interesting. It's a really cool matchup to go straight defense, big-time running game, because you can run it on the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But it's a fun matchup. I look at this Ravens team. It's Lamar Jackson. That offense, they can get you 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to do. And and most weeks with that defense, that's going to be enough against a lot of teams.
That's why they won these 3.
It's not going to be enough against Kansas City. It's just not.
At home.
No.
Yeah. It's just not going
to
happen.
All right, the New Orleans Saints going on the road to play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They are a 9-point favorite. Obviously, listen, the Thursday night football road team trend continued last week because everybody, and I mean everybody, chose the New Orleans Saints to win. Every national pundit.
Again, they won what? I mean, straight.
Yeah.
Nine straight. They lost the 10th.
And they lost the 10th, and that offense was
awful.
Was bad and made the Dallas Cowboys defense look like they were the best defense in the NFL, which I think is not even close to being the truth. But this is a divisional game, a little revenge factor here for Drew Brees in a loss early on in the season. Jake, what do you see happening here?
I've got him winning 34-24, the Saints. Divisional game. The Bucs are hanging in there. They're putting up numbers on everybody. The Saints defense has played pretty good. They played pretty good last week on Thursday night. I think, again, trying to keep pace, trying to get that number one seed, because if you got to go to the Superdome, you're hurting.
Yeah.
I mean, they're right there. So there's no way they're going to lose 2 divisional games to the same team. I think they go down there and they get it done. But, man, Jameis Winston's playing well. The Tampa offense keeps putting up numbers. So it scared me a little bit to bet this one. I've got him winning, covering by a point.
Right. Yeah, I don't feel great about this one, but I'm going to take the points here with the Bucs. I think the Saints are going to win this football game, but I think it's going to be close. I think the biggest difference in Jameis Winston over the last couple of weeks is he's not turning the ball over as much. Mm-hmm. I mean, this offense has been sensational all year, but they've also turned the ball over a ton. And if they don't turn the ball over, they can be in this game. I still don't see them fully matching up with the Saints enough to win this game again. But I do think 9 points is a lot. Saints are a different team on the road. They are a different team outdoors. Now, they do have the benefit of they had a few extra days. I mean, they're a little bit more well-rested for this game. They have a little
Which
bit
is
more
important
time
this time of year, especially when you've been on that streak of winning 9 straight and you lost one, reevaluate.
And they're a better team.
Yeah.
But
I wish this was week 15, not week 14, because I went all in on the Saints in fantasy, and everybody on this offense is –
Everybody
is going to have these games. Yeah, but
I have 3 Buccaneers receivers in the top 30. week.
For
we've
sure.
got Godwin and Evans and Humphreys and you're starting Michael Thomas. I think Traquan Smith, it's a hope and a prayer with Traquan Smith every week, but he could be a flex play.
Yeah.
Starting both Saints running backs. I think Peyton Barber is a flex play. I mean, this is
Drew Brees has a monster week.
Drew Brees monster week. Winston's gonna have. This is the big fantasy game of the week
for sure.
But I wish it was week 15 because it doesn't matter to me.
Any matchup right now. The next game, Carolina Panthers at Cleveland. If you guys want to know what the guys think about that game, you're gonna have to be a TD Fantasy Premium subscriber. They both like something in this game, and you're going to have to subscribe to figure out what that is. The next game, New York Jets at the Buffalo Bills. Jamie, you're the only one talking about this one because Jake likes something in here too. So what do you see happening in this game, Jets plus 3.5?
So I look at this game, and I'm going to go back to something I've said on the show a bunch. And I'm going to qualify it once again so people understand that I'm not crapping on Sam Darnold. He's going to be a good football player down the road. The problem is right now in his rookie season on the road, he has been a complete and utter disaster.
Yes.
And I mean a disaster, almost unplayable. This is his first game back in a few weeks. The Bills defense is pretty darn good. They're one of the better top half of the league in defense. Sam Darnold has been brutal on the road, as I just mentioned. I think he's going to turn the ball over two or three different times. I think the Bills cover this easily. I'm debating putting this a lock. I don't know what Jake thinks about this game, but I'm debating making this a lock at one point, but I didn't quite put it in there yet because it's still the Bills, and I'm a little cautious putting mediocre teams as locks. But I look at this, I think the Jets are kind of playing out the season at this point.
Yeah.
I think Josh Allen's ability to run the ball, I still have concerns about his accuracy when he's throwing it, but when he's running the ball, he's being very effective right now. I think the Bills win this game by at least a touchdown, if not more.
Listen, I love when those California boys have to come play in the cold weather. Buffalo loves this. Cold weather, intimidating environment, Sam Darnold, a rookie. I think it's going to be ugly.
I'll tease my pick with this.
Okay.
Because I know Buffalo well.
Yeah.
There is no colder, windier place on the freaking planet this time of year than Buffalo, New York.
And Sam's struggled significantly on the road. Denver Broncos, who have won their last three games. They played much better. This is a team that could mix it up and potentially make the playoffs. I don't think that they're going to, but they're at least showing us that they're a better football team than I think most people thought they were going to be there. 4.5-point favorite on the road, going to play the San Francisco 49ers, who, man, oh, man, they just injury after injury after injury. This is a bad football team, and they do not have an intimidating environment. So, Jake, what do you see happening here?
You know, losing Emmanuel Sanders hurts. So I'm going to change my pick a little bit. I got the Broncos still covering 27-21. Kyle Shanahan's done a hell of a job. I don't know that anybody has dealt with injuries like this, and they keep putting up decent numbers. I mean, Nick Mullins threw for 400 freaking yards last week. Like, they're playing okay. They just don't have anything left. The Broncos are going to finish 2-2 throughout the season. They're not going to make the playoffs. These young guys are playing their butts off for them. They had one hell of a draft.
Yeah, thank you, Philip Lindsay. That's
and free agency, too.
I mean, free agency or Lindsay, yeah.
I mean, hell of a bunch of really good young players on this team. They just don't have enough to make the playoffs yet, but they're going to finish strong. I think they win this one. If they go on the road – here's a teaser for you. If they go on the road and lose this one, Vance Joseph might still get whacked. At this point, he saved his job, but if they go lose this game and they lose three out of the last four –
he might still lose his job. He almost lost his job last year.
This is an interesting situation because you're happy to see this team starting to click a little bit. Again, I thought they were an 8-win team at the beginning of the year, and that's where they're going to end. But it prevents you from moving on from your head coach, which I think none of us are terribly impressed with the job that he has done. So, I mean, you're kind of in that weird spot there where there could be some pretty decent coaches that are available to you on that market, and you don't kind of want to be caught in that midway.
The kicker there is John Elway, who doesn't really care.
Oh, he'll fire him.
John Elway thinks he can get Ron Rivera or Mike McCarthy or Harbaugh.
Yeah, he'll fire Vance Joseph.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Because you know what follows those guys? Staffs.
Staffs.
You know what these young guys that everybody wants don't have? Staffs. What makes McVay so good? His brain offensively and the fact that he doesn't have to worry about the defense.
No.
Wade Phillips is freaking awesome.
And he's been there
and done that.
And
he didn't even have to go down there. Oh, and by the way, Fossil's the best special teams coach in the league. He didn't have to mess with that either. He can only be the brainchild of the offense. That's all he's got to do.
Yeah,
and lead his team.
And that's a luxury. That doesn't happen very often.
No, Les Snead did a hell of a job helping him put that together.
For sure.
These other guys don't have that. And if they're coming from decent teams, Dave Filippo was in Philly for a while, went to Minnesota, only took a couple guys.
Yeah.
If he gets a job, who the hell is he hiring?
Yeah.
What does his staff look like? By the way, that's really important.
It's extremely important. It's why Chicago's had huge success this year, because Matt Nagy doesn't need to worry about what Vic Fangio's doing.
No.
He doesn't even walk over to that side of the football.
Or special teams.
Doesn't have to. Doesn't have to. So that's a recipe for success that doesn't exist everywhere in the NFL.
So I look at this game. I agree. I think the Broncos win this game by at least a touchdown. So they'll cover that 4.5-point spread. Like I said on the show on Thursday, Courtland Sutton's now in wide receiver 2 territory on any given week. Deshaun Hamilton's now in flex territory. I think Royce Freeman could actually have a pretty big game here too, because I think they're going to lean on the running game even more than they have. And they've been extremely successful when either of these guys have run the ball. Now, Phillip Lindsay's been out of this world, but Royce Freeman's run the ball pretty well as well.
He has. I think if Lindsay wasn't there, Royce Freeman would have had one hell of a year. And the other way around, if Freeman wasn't there, Lindsay was the guy the whole time, he'd have had an even bigger year.
Yeah. So it's a shame that Saquon Barkley's been so awesome that Lindsay's probably not going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, but he's had a hell of a year. So to me, again, that's enough for me for the Broncos to get the job done here.
All right. Cincinnati Bengals going on the road to play the LA Chargers. The Chargers are 14-point favorites at home. That is a big spread. But, man, Cincinnati, as far as injuries goes, is another team that's suffering big time, obviously. A.J. Green will not be playing. Andy Dalton's not going to be seen for the rest of the season. So this is the LA Chargers feeling themselves after going up to Pittsburgh in Heinz Field on Sunday Night Football in primetime and go get a victory. That was a hell of a performance.
It was historic.
From the Chargers.
That's a big game for them. And I know it seems obvious, but the LA Chargers have a long history of choking, of being dogs, of being a very good team that whenever they face a little bit of adversity, they have to go on the road against a good team, they lay down. That was a big game
for
them.
Huge game.
Because if they want to, again, this team I don't think is going to win the division. If they want to win the Super Bowl, they're going to have a lot of road games on that path against good teams. Yeah. And if at some point you need to start living up to expectations for your talent level. And I thought that was a very good start for them.
Defense travels. Phillip Rivers has brass balls.
He does.
I like them anywhere they got to go.
Yeah. So do you think they cover 14?
I've got it 31-17. So if I got to lean one way or the other, I think they do. I think Bosa scared me when he went off the field with that foot. And I was like, oh, here we go. And he came right back in.
Yeah.
And then he had the spin move sack.
Yeah.
And you're like,
okay.
Oh, yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, this defense is – Derwin James, absolute freak. He is
– Defensive Rookie of the Year,
he's
right?
Troy Polamalu and Ed Reed together. He's at the line of scrimmage, and he picks a ball off 25 yards down the field on the opposite hash.
Yeah, he's
and
a
when Ben,
he's a
ben
freak.
Threw it up to McDonald thinking he's wide open and didn't see Derwin James. That's some Troy Polamalu stuff. He just, comes out of nowhere. He will hit you. He will pick it off. He's rushing the passer. Like, this defense has – some serious pieces. Now Bosa back, Ingram on the other side. You got both guys.
I think
they blow the doors off the Bengals this week. I think it's ugly.
Yeah, I think so as well. I mean, you always have to worry about their slow starts on offense. We've seen that happen more than a few times even against mediocre teams.
If you're counting on Mixon to have a big week, that one would scare me. I think Tyler Boyd will be okay because I think they're going to have to throw it a ton and he'll get some targets. But anybody else really kind of scares me on that Bengals offense.
Yeah, not a good game if you have Cincinnati players on your team. All right, another divisional matchup that's going to matter a lot for both teams, and that's the Philadelphia Eagles going on the road to play the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys coming off their biggest victory of the year so far, beating the Saints at home. That defense looked really good. I caution people because Thursday Night Football is really a throwaway for me. I don't think you get the truest test of what a team is. I think the Cowboys defense is good. I do not think they're elite. Let's see what the Phillies got, because they have to win this game if they want to keep pace and they want to be a team that's going to make the postseason. And they're 3.5-point underdogs going into Dallas.
So when I looked at this game, we didn't think this game might matter much 3 or 4 weeks ago.
No.
But in the last 3 or 4 weeks, one of these two teams has shown me something.
The Cowboys.
And that the Cowboys have some fight in them. And Dak Prescott looks like a different quarterback with Amari Cooper active and fully running around that offense.
Yep.
Again, not an elite quarterback, not a top 10 quarterback, but a different quarterback.
Yeah.
I look at Zeke has been phenomenal for about 2 months now. I mean, just really, really running the ball like looks at times like
he's
the best
a monster.
Player in football.
Yeah, he's a monster.
That defense is good, not great. I'm coming around to that defense a bit. I mean, I've been highly critical of them all year, and I'm just at some point I have to admit that I was incorrect about them. I didn't think they were even as good as they've been showing. I think Dallas wins this game. I think Dallas covers here. In part because I've been impressed by the way they've played recently, but a bigger part because I don't buy anything Philadelphia is doing. They can't run the football. Adams is hurt now, and we'll see if he can come back and be effective. I know they have Sproles back, but I'm just continue, even in their victories. I'm just very unimpressed by this Eagles team right now.
Yeah.
And I think Dallas has a little bit of momentum. I think Dallas can run the ball down their throat, control the clock in this game. I think Dallas is looking at this and not going to have a letdown here. I think they're looking at this and saying, we're about to hit our stride and we think we're a Super Bowl team. I don't think they're a Super Bowl team, but they might think that.
Yeah.
I think they're going to keep rolling here.
Okay. I got the Cowboys covering 27-23. I actually think it could be a little bit bigger than that. There's a bunch of reasons why. Young, swaggy teams that start to win, it can roll.
Yeah,
because
for sure.
You don't know any better. Mm-hmm. And when are really good teams made? They're made in November. And they had a hell of a November. This defense has played really well. They can rush the passer. These linebackers are flying all over the place. And, oh, by the way, they did it without their best linebacker.
Yeah.
Sean Lee's coming back.
Yes. That's a whole different defense.
If he can stay healthy for the rest of this run.
Yeah, for sure.
That defense.
Can be very good.
A woozy. I mean, they got some guys that can cover. They're.
Leighton Vander Esch
is flying. So he's Sean Lee, but bigger, longer, and faster.
If it wasn't for Derwin James, he'd be the defensive rookie of the year.
Agreed.
Oh, and he still should be right there. Yeah. That should be really close. Like I kind of sat there going, okay, 4 or 5 weeks ago, this Cowboys team, man, they were 6-10, 7-9.
Yeah, they were meh.
Yeah.
But that young, swaggy team and the Amari Cooper trade was big. They gave up a ton to get him.
But
he's been solid, but what he's done is open things up because teams aren't playing them any different. He's getting single coverage.
For sure.
But getting Sean Lee back and what they've done without him for the last 4 weeks, I kind of like them moving forward. They're going to be a tough team to play. If they can keep running like this, because Dak's not turning it over.
Yeah.
He's hitting enough plays. They're getting some run after the catch stuff. And Zeke's been a freak.
Yeah, Zeke's
But I think Sean, I mean, go back to with his Dallas Cowboys without Sean Lee, they're god-awful defense.
Yeah. Now,
they've been really good without him. They get him back. Those three linebackers can absolutely fly and cover some ground. I mean, I don't know. I kind of like them moving forward. I'm kind of coming around on the Cowboys.
Yeah, it's one of those things I keep
– I agree with Jamie wholeheartedly on the Eagles. I don't know what the hell I'm going
to
get.
It's more so the Eagles are so up and down. Would it surprise me to see them to go into Dallas and win? Not at all.
No.
But do I think they could go up there and play?
But they haven't played to their talent level all year.
No.
And the defense hasn't. At any point.
Yeah, I've been waiting for it to happen, but man, it's December now. It's too late for you to kind of have that kind of turnaround moment. Maybe this is it, but you can't wait any longer than that.
I just look at this Dallas team and I say, this is a team that's going to win a playoff game. I don't know if they're going to win two, because that second game they're going to have to go on the road, whether it's LA or Chicago or someplace. Yeah. I don't think they're going to beat the upper echelon teams. But I have no, I mean, they're in that tier 2 team at this point. And I look at the Eagles as like, that's a. That looks like a 500 squad at best.
Super Bowl hangover
celebration.
They
can't. Big disappointment. They'll be in that disappointing conversation potentially, especially if they lose this week. Steelers coming off two losses now in a row. They have had a tough couple of weeks. James Conner will not be playing in this game. And listen, they're going to play Oakland. So good timing for them because they're going to play a bad football team. They're 10.5-point favorites at home. But like we said earlier, they just lost a game in primetime at home, which we're not used to seeing. Listen, at times that first half, their offense looked unstoppable. There were times in that game where they looked unbelievable. And then Ben looked like drunk Ben. I mean, it was up and down. It wasn't great. His decision making wasn't great. He started forcing the ball to Antonio Brown,
couldn't cover the best player on the Chargers.
Yes,
Keenan Allen was.
Yes, and James Conner's not playing this week, obviously suffering an injury. But they're playing the Raiders.
So this is a lot like New England going to Miami. The Steelers never play good in Oakland. James Conner's out, but there's a reason I've got him covering. I've got it 31-20, so I got him covering by half a point. I wouldn't bet this to save my life. But the Raiders cannot rush the passer at all. Go back to the game last week where the Raiders' offense was pretty good. Yeah, I wonder why. The worst trade in NFL history. But you can't – go back to the first part you were just talking about. This offense looked unstoppable.
Yeah.
Because the Chargers could – they can rush the passer, and they couldn't get there in the first half.
Yeah.
Go back to last week, the Raiders against the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes just lit them on fire. Now, the Raiders' offense played pretty good, and they kept in there. The Steelers' defense is going to get after Derek Carr. They can rush the passer. They're going to get some sacks. I can see it being worse than that, but I've got them covering at 31-20. I think they go out there and win it easily because I go back to what we just talked about again. They have to win to keep pace.
Yeah.
They can't go out there and lay an egg like they've done in the past, and that's like that bad loss where they just had two in a row. Good teams don't lose two in a row. They damn sure don't lose three in a row.
For sure.
So I think they go out there and they get it done.
The Steelers are the most frustrating team in football.
Agreed.
That is a talent. That is a roster. That is a 13-win team.
Yes.
That talent roster is arguably – I mean, you can make a very compelling argument that – they're the best team in football on paper.
Yes.
I don't. I would argue that it's the Rams, but you could make an argument and that and not be crazy if you just look strictly on paper and you didn't look at any of the games this year, that that's a team that is going to win the Super Bowl. Yet they continue to do this every once in a while where they just lay these eggs of whether it's a whole half, sometimes it's the first half of the game, sometimes it's the second half of the game. They do these things that great teams don't do.
Yeah.
And it's very frustrating because they have all the potential in the world. This is, again, this is a tough game to bet because you have a team on the road that's a double-digit favorite. And those are usually all the red flags pop up there. I think they're going to cover this game because at some point I think they have just too much talent. I think this could look very similar to that Raiders-Chiefs game in the sense of that I'm not sure that the Oakland can maybe put up some points in this game because the Steelers are going to get up big early. At some point, I need to see this team look like a team that's going to win the Super Bowl again. And I don't get what the missing piece is sometimes.
No.
Because it's different issues. Sometimes the defense doesn't show up. Sometimes Big Ben doesn't show up for a half. Sometimes Antonio Brown can't get open. Sometimes, you know, they weren't able to run the ball effectively.
It seems sometimes like, it all comes together and you go, oh, there they are.
Yeah, and it all comes together and you go, there's no team that can beat them.
And
I just need to see this more on a weekly basis because when the Rams don't play their best, they still find a way to win football games.
Yes.
That last week in Detroit is a good example. When the Steelers don't play their best, they almost never win football games in the last couple of years.
Can we talk about that historic, though? 200-0-2. Went up by 14 at home in the second half, right?
Yeah.
And if the safety doesn't kill the corner and the ball fly up and Keenan Allen makes that play, they're up like 13 or 14 with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter right there, and you still lose that game at home. Like, that was an historic loss.
Yeah.
The other thing is they don't lose in prime time at home.
No, never.
That was another – like, there was like two mega historic things.
Mm-hmm.
I think they bounce back. Samuel's filling in for Connor. I think he has a monster week. I think Ben's going to throw it 50 times. I think their game plan is going to be our offensive line is a hell of a lot better than the Raiders' defensive line. I think you'll see a lot of that. They also are a historic franchise with a head coach that's been there and done that, and they know December football gets you ready for January football, and they know that it's got to start now against a far inferior team.
Yeah, they're one of the most infuriating teams.
I'm going to be at this game, by the way, so I'll fill you in next week on what
can't
I see live.
Can't wait to hear because, man, sometimes that offense looks head and shoulders above every other offense in the NFL, including the Rams. I think at certain points, this team, when they look their best, look absolutely unstoppable. And then they do things that are so infuriating, it's impossible to believe in them as a Super Bowl team right now because they've had too many eggs. They've laid too many eggs, especially a home game on prime time. A
couple things to mention here that maybe not cover that just popped in my head. The Switzer comeback, who has been a big part of this offense.
Yes.
Big part of this return game, special teams. And then they put Hunter in for James Washington, who Ben missed on that wide open touchdown.
Yeah.
It looked like he maybe broke his wrist when he flipped over and whatever that was. Did James Washington come back in? Or do they have enough receivers? Jesse James and McDonald have been great. I mean, they can get it done.
Yeah.
But they've got three or four injuries of key players that played really good roles in this, that alone could hurt them. It'd be interesting to see how they overcome that.
Next game we're going to talk about that we could skip, but we're going to talk about it. It's Detroit Lions going on the road to play the Arizona Cardinals.
It's actually kind of compelling at this point.
Sure. The Arizona Cardinals.
Not for like anything other than we live in Arizona. They just beat the Packers.
Yes.
The Lions looked really good against the Rams last
they
week.
They did. Those are
god awful going into that game.
Those
for
are
a while.
Two true statements. The Detroit Lions are allergic to the red zone. They don't know how to score touchdowns when they get into the red zone. And the Arizona Cardinals are coming off a historic victory. A historic victory. Going into Lambeau Field and winning. It was like 1949. It was the last time they were the Chicago Cardinals, the last time that this happened.
They don't go there that much, and it's not historic. It ain't that big a deal.
Let them have
this. They just fired their coach. They have a better roster. It's not historic. Save me the crap of the Cardinals beat the Packers in Lambeau, and it's this big-ass thing.
Still a
by the way,
they've only won four games.
You got one less win than the Packers got, who have sucked all year.
The only reason
anybody talks about the Packers having a chance is because Aaron Rodgers is freaking awesome. Other than that, if Aaron Rodgers didn't play in that game, the Cardinals are 10-point favorites going in with two wins.
Yep.
Save me historic. It's not historic.
I knew there are certain times where I like to trigger Jake, and I knew calling that win would be because I completely have the same feelings Jake does. Because if you didn't say they were in there was a 4-win football team, not a good football team.
No.
Green Bay did not deserve to be a 14-point favorite.
If Green Bay safety can
week,
catch, you don't have this comeback.
Yeah.
And they have this, and Mike McCarthy still has a job.
Yeah, but anyways, Detroit is a 3-point favorite on the road, playing the Arizona Cardinals. There will be a lot of Detroit fans. There always is when Detroit plays here. Midwest cities tend to have a lot of transplants living here. What are we going to see from Josh Rosen? Do you think they can upset the Lions?
I do. I think this is going to actually be a really close game. I don't like the Lions the way they've been playing on the road. I don't like the Lions offense without Kerryon Johnson, who I have no idea when Kerryon Johnson's coming back at this point. They've been very kind of hush-hush about that. He's not practicing yet, so I doubt it's going to be this week. I'm not a Matthew Stafford fan. I don't think you can win a Super Bowl with him at quarterback.
He's fallen into that Matt Ryan category for you, isn't he?
A little bit, but with Matt Ryan, it was more of fantasy reasons why I didn't like him. Matthew Stafford, I think it's real life football reasons. I just don't think you can win a Super Bowl with him. He's the most talented dude that can't get it done kind of thing. Absolutely, yeah. So I don't know if the Lions offense has enough firepower right now. I think this is going to be generally just a boring game, close game overall. But the Cardinals getting a field goal at home, I think they're going to either, if they don't win this game, they'll keep it close enough where if they lose by a field goal, you take the push. So I'm going to take the Cardinals in this game just because I don't think the Lions are that much better the way they're playing right now on the road.
Nope. Still allergic to the red zone.
I'm going to take the Lions 23-20 up. That's on the line. So I'll take the Lions to cover.
Okay.
I think Kerryon Johnson plays. If he does and he's 80% of himself, he has a big game because the Cardinals cannot stop the run at all. They've been bad. And if Matt Stafford gets any running game at all, they can get it going. Marvin Jones Jr. playing, he's still out as well.
No.
I mean, he's done.
Yeah, he's done. He's on IR.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. So you got one.
You got Galladay, and that's it.
One receiver. Yeah. Who's been pretty good.
Yeah, he's
been effective. There's a fantasy if you need a stretch guy or, you know, take a flyer on.
For sure. But that Golden Tate trade looks worse and worse by the day since Marvin Jones has gone down. They don't have a lot of weapons. They just don't.
But they played the Rams really well last week.
They did. As if they could score touch, if they were in the red zone and they could not, I'm not joking, 7 times, and they could not get it into the end zone. It was as somebody who was actively rooting against the Rams, I was like, why can they not? It was interesting to watch.
I think the Cardinals defense will look good because I think they'll get after Stafford. But the way to combat that is you can run it down the Cardinals' throat. I think the Lions will come in there. They'll run it a lot. They'll punt. This game would be pretty boring. The Lions' defense has been solid. Cardinals haven't done anything to make you think. I mean, Rosen's been under 50% completions for like three games in a row, and they're only throwing it 25 times.
They don't have Kirk anymore for the year, so
that's really going to hurt.
Yeah,
he's been playing really well. They don't have anybody that can get open. So I mean, if the Lions can run it and stop the run, I just think they have enough to get it done.
All right, Sunday Night Football, the LA Rams going into Chicago.
The real game.
Big game. LA Rams going into Chicago. Rams are 3-point favorites. It's not confirmed whether Trubisky's going to play or not yet. He said yesterday.
I would expect him to play.
He's going to play.
I'm going to operate under the assumption he's playing.
Yeah, this line is reflective of him, of him starting, and that's because Vegas knows that Trubisky's going to start in this game. Jake, I'll let you go first. What do you see happening in this one?
I got the Rams 27-21. I got them covering. The Bears defense is phenomenal. The Rams can just beat you in so many ways, and I really think coming out of the bye, the Rams defense is going to figure it out. Tlaib coming back makes this a completely different defense. They can rush the passer against a really good offensive line. Look, I mean, the Bears, I said early, when we get to now, and Jordan, they did it last week. Jordan Howard had a decent day, like 16 for 75 or something like that. They got to be able to do that. The one thing you can do on the Rams, you've been able to do for the last 6 weeks, is run it on them traditionally. If the Browns or the Bears don't outthink themselves and get too misdirectional, high flying when it's cold and windy, and they can run it at them, I think they got a chance to hang in there. I think it's a really fun game to watch. I just think the Rams have too many different ways to beat you, and I don't think the Bears are quite on that level yet. Even though it's a Sunday night game at home, that atmosphere is going to be nuts.
It's going to be crazy. And I will say, the LA Rams went to Detroit last week, then flew back to LA. Now they're flying back to Chicago, back-to-back weeks, lots of travel.
I get all that, but it's a veteran team I think can handle it. I just don't think the Bears are on. That was a bad loss last week.
Yeah.
Hell of a job coming back, but it's just a bad loss. I just don't think they're quite on that level yet, but I think hang in there, and I think it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun to watch.
I think
the Rams know they got to win. Yeah. Same thing. The Bears got to win. I mean, this is like everybody's got to keep pace. Like these last two we're going to talk about are a hell of a lot of fun because there's a lot of playoff implications.
For sure.
I think this is a great game. I think this is a very close game, but I'm with you, Jake. I think the Rams do enough to get the job done. I do not think this is a multi-score game. I think this is a game deep into the fourth quarter that's going to be really good and really intriguing. I think the difference for me is, one, I don't know how healthy Mitch Trubisky is. If Mitch Trubisky was 100% healthy, never had the injury, and they were flying there, I would say, you know what, this might be a toss-up for me. I think I want to see how he reacts there. Aaron Donald's going to hit him. He's going to hit him a lot in this game. And I want to see how healthy he is and is he able to make the same
throws. Bears defense should have shut the Giants down last week and didn't. And they're facing a whole other animal in the Rams.
That's for sure. I wouldn't, but I watched that football game. Chase Daniel gave a pick six right to start off the game 7-0.
Yeah, no,
turned the ball over there on the 10.
And he so played, 14 well, he of those, played well down the stretch.
So 14 of those points are not against the Bears defense.
Right. The no, Giants' no. offensive line is the worst in football.
For sure.
That's
sure.
not the Rams.
And I look at and you said on the Rams' offense, they beat you in so many different ways. They're able to do so much. The way I look at this game is that the Bears are an elite second tier team. I think the Rams are the best team in football, and I think that's the difference in this game.
Yeah.
I think,
I just don't think the Bears are quite on that level
sure.
yet. But
they're getting there. But I just,
God, you take it offensive line. Bears are really good. Quarterback play has been okay. Receivers, I think there's still one guy away from being really, really good. But they can if they can get more traditional now. And still have all the misdirection stuff. Defensive line is great. Linebackers, man, Roquan Smith's been a beast. Danny Trevathan, yeah. I mean, they're secondary. They've got everything. They're just not quite on the level of the Rams. Is why I think it's a great game.
This is the best defense and the best offense. Not statistically, but this is the best defense in the NFL and the best offense. The Bears,
well, the Bears not statistically the best because they sure look like it.
The Ravens are still the best.
I would take the Bears defense. I love the Ravens defense. I'm taking the Bears defense. 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, the Bears have scored more touchdowns, more pick sixes, more interceptions,
than they've given up touchdowns.
Yeah. This is the best defense in the NFL, especially at home in the cold weather.
And look, the Rams are the best team in football. They got to go win a game like
absolutely.
This. They got to prove that. Okay, sure. In December in Chicago, we got to take sunny California and go win.
We'll see. It's going to be a good game.
It's a really good matchup. Yeah. I'm excited.
And I know this might seem like a trivial thing as we talk about how good these offensive defenses are. I'm going to give the kicking game edge to Los Angeles.
For sure.
Yes.
I think Parkey's
been good for a couple weeks, but he's struggled.
But he's not great. I think this is a field goal game. I really think this could be a field goal game where one is it can make a difference or not.
That's a really good point. Monday Night Football. We're blessed with some good prime time here.
These two are very happy they
flexed the Rams-Bears game into Sunday Night Football, and we happened to get a really, really good Monday Night Football game. Talk about a team that needs to keep pace. The Minnesota Vikings have to win this football game. They are 2.5 games behind the Bears because they had a tie with Green Bay, and they are 2 full games, and they lost to Chicago already.
Yep.
This is a game that they need to win after, man, they did not play so hot.
This is the wild card.
Yeah, this is the wild card.
Whoever wins this is getting it.
And Seattle, 3.5-point favorites at home. This is what Seattle does. They start off slow and they get better, but this is the worst roster that they've had since Pete Carroll's been there. It's definitely not the intimidating environment that we've expected in the past. But listen, Minnesota, like I said, they need to win this game. And I expect them to – I kind of expect them to win this game. But I don't know. 3.5-point dogs.
I don't.
I do.
I've been a Kirk Cousins apologist for a long time. Because I think he is – unlike Stafford, I think you can win a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins with some help around.
Yeah.
But I need to see him beat a good team when it matters.
Yeah.
Because he has a terrible, terrible history – of not being able to beat good teams when it matters.
He's 5. This is teams above 500. He is 5-26 against teams above 500.
It's the Matthew Stafford syndrome a little
bit.
Yeah. And I know at some point I feel like I'm contradicting myself and being hypocritical with the thing I just said about Matthew Stafford and then saying what I said about Kirk Cousins. But it's just I think I need to see them do it. And I look at this Vikings team and I go, why aren't they clicking more? Dalvin Cook is back and playing well. Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs are healthy relatively. That defense is good. What is not clicking here on this team? And this is a huge game for me because this could be the game that propels the Vikings into the postseason for them to make a run. If they win this game and they get things rolling, but Seattle's rolling right now. Russell Wilson looks really good.
Yes, he does.
And again,
Rashad Penny is alive. We've seen him. Got in the end zone last week.
I just need to see the Vikings win a big game. I need to see them actually win a big game.
I want them to lose this game so terribly that I'm saying that they're going to win the game in hopes that it's a nice reverse jinx.
You both now. The Vikings are winning and covering.
Okay.
And I'm going to talk football.
Okay.
Seattle's the only team in the NFL running it more than they throw it. This is not a good matchup for that recipe. This is going to be a lot more on Russell Wilson than it's been the last 4 or 5 weeks. They've won 3 straight. They're running the crap out of it. Chris Carson still not 100%. Yes, Rashad Penny has played really well the last couple weeks. They don't. It's not a good matchup.
Yeah.
Dalvin Cook is back and playing well enough. You can run it on Seattle. They're surprisingly, you're not throwing it on them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But Stephon Diggs showed me a lot last week. He should have played in that game, and he played pretty well.
Yeah.
New England stepped up and won that game. I picked the Vikings to go in there and win that last week. I think it's just not a good matchup for Seattle. They won three straight. I think because of that, we go back to previous history of this is what they do. I go back and look at this roster. They're not that good. The Vikings have a far superior roster. And it's just not a good matchup for Seattle. Yes, it's a tough place to go play. But the weather's not going to matter to the Vikings. Yes, they play indoors, but they go to work every morning. It's negative 75. Like, none of that's going to matter, I don't think. And they play in the NFC North. It's not a good matchup for the Seahawks. I think the Vikings go in there, they win, and they cover.
All right. We'll see.
And they get rolling. I would not want to play that team in the playoffs.
Guys, we have some great matchups this weekend.
December football is very, very
fun. Excited for the next few weeks of football. There's a lot to look forward to. And like I said, primetime, back-to-back, Sunday and Monday night, I will be glued to the television, nowhere near anything else other than the
I'm going to Golden State Warriors game Monday night. I'm going to be like watching a basketball game and the football game on my phone.
Listen, watching Golden State play at Oracle is a pretty fun thing to do. Jamie, how can everybody follow you on social media?
Follow me at Jamie Eisner on Twitter and at Jamie Eisner on Instagram.
Jake
B. Arians on Twitter and Jake Arians on Instagram.
Guys, you can follow me at @_sports_page with an I, and you should follow TD Fantasy at TD Fantasy_. Have a wonderful weekend and enjoy this weekend of football.